windy and got a little hot and a little sweaty. I wasn't used to that yet this year, and so now that means I'm a little parched and have one of these little water bottles tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house this evening, leading up into Resurrection Sunday. And, of course, it's been a little bit on people's minds, which is good. We're building up to Resurrection Sunday, and that's when we're all going to be excited, and we're all going to be happy, kind of like maybe we was last Sunday. You know, it was Palm Sunday, and everybody was a little happy, and you know, that's okay. It's good to be happy from time to time. But we're in midweek service, and how many understands? You probably had a busy week. I know I did. And we've been working. Well, Lucas and Robert went swimming in the swimming pool, and it was a little cold, they said. And then we've been working on a little retaining wall and just good stuff. So I'm not going to hold you long tonight, says every preacher. Amen. But I do want to share a little bit with us this evening, continuing in the theme that we have started as was shared this past Sunday, Palm Sunday, and we got all excited about Palm Sunday and the waving of the palms, and guess what? They're still up here. They're not going anywhere. I don't know if you figured that out or not, but they're not going anywhere. Just because we only had one Palm Sunday doesn't mean that you can't wave a palm every Sunday. So they're not going anywhere. But we studied last Sunday and got enlightened a little bit about palms and worship and stuff. And, of course, we're building towards Resurrection Sunday. But I want to deal tonight with a little bit of what happened between the two Sundays. You see, what happened between the two Sundays, It wasn't real pretty. It didn't look like last Sunday, and it didn't look like the upcoming Sunday. In fact, what happened between the two Sundays looks a lot like sometimes the way we have problems in life. So I want to deal with that for just a few minutes tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to read verses 55 and 56. Matthew 26 and 55, it says, "In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." I just want to read that little part to you again. It says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Amen. You could be seated this evening. As we're dealing with this whole story, and we begin to see a lot of the things that begin to transpire, and we begin to experience the excitement of the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem. And as you kind of begin to review the timeline of what was going on, as we're at Thursday, the disciples are actually setting down to eat the Last Supper with Christ tonight. And actually, by this time, they're actually already headed into the garden to pray. And so a lot had transpired in the last 4 days, because as Christ came in and the people begin to praise and they begin to worship and they begin to raise the palms and they begin to cast their garments before him. It was an awesome time to be a disciple. It was a wonderful time to be a follower of Christ. In fact, it would almost seem that to the disciples that for the last 3.5 years that they have been following the Master, they had never seen a response quite like what they were experiencing as they came into Jerusalem. And you could just imagine, just use your imagination just a little bit, as they, you know, Peter and John and Andrew and all of them, they begin to visit with one another, and they're walking with the Master, and they're part of the entourage. And on that day, if anybody would have come up to Peter and said, "Are you a disciple?" You know what? He would have said, "Well, yes, I sure am." Because it was exciting. I mean, everything was flying high. I mean, it was wonderful times. Kind of like we had last Sunday. I don't know. Did the goosebumps and the hair stand up on your arms last Sunday when we seen Corky and Sharon come walking in? I'll tell you what, I about flew off the base. I just was like, pow! You know, I mean, that you don't always get to see answered prayer answered that fast. But we saw it. We saw it. It's wonderful. And the disciples, I mean, everything was great and everything was going good. And it was the time of the Passover. And a lot of people was around. And of course, as you begin to read the scriptures, what happened after the triumphant entry? A little Bible trivia for you. Well, something like that. But that's not actually what happened. Jesus went into the temple and he cast out all the money changers. I mean, if you thought that the triumphant entry was a great day to be around, Peter sat back and said, "Wow! I mean, the Messiah is really, really starting to step out." And he cast all the money changers out. And I mean, the change was flying, and the animals was flying, and the people was running, and they got to see a little righteous indignation there as Christ came in and he cast those out that was disrespecting the temple. And I mean, it was a great time to be alive. And so as they begin to go, and Christ begins to give them direction, and he even tells them exactly what room to find, and they go, and it was exactly as Jesus said, and they came together and they sat down, and it was just, everything was kind of calming down just a little bit, and they were just settling in to enjoy some nice quiet time with Jesus. And as that evening began to go on, Jesus began to act in some strange ways. Well, first off, he come around and he washes all their feet. And that was just really hard for Peter. And he said, "No, Lord, you can't wash my feet. You can wash my feet, might as well wash everything." And he didn't understand. This is what I really want to begin to get to tonight, was as these events begin to unfold, all the pictures that these disciples have been holding in their mind, and all the emotional highs that they have been experiencing, and all the wonderful things that they have been taking in, and it seemed like the culmination of all their dreams for the Messiah was coming together in 1 week, all of a sudden things begin to get where they didn't understand. And as Christ began to wash their feet and he got all finished up, he sat at the table and he said this. He said, "One of you is going to betray me tonight." Talk about a buzzkill. I mean, talk about things going good, things going right, things going, everything perfect. Anybody ever had that happen in life where everything just was going perfect? And everything was just going right. And it seemed like all your hard work and all your effort and all your plans, everything was coming together and everything was beginning to look like it was going to actually happen. How do you feel during that time? Well, you feel like you're on top of the world. You feel a little bit like Superman, you know, and you feel like, you know, it's just like, you know, I can take any problem on right now. And as the buzz began to go around the table, and the disciples begin, is it I? And one portion of scripture, as you begin to read this, bears out the fact that not only was the argument going around the table as to who it was, but also the argument began to go around the table of who was the greatest. You see, what happens, what I'm getting to, is that we're real people, and we got real struggles. We got real ambitions. We got real dreams. But sometimes we have real problems. And you see what was going on this night was, it didn't matter how they felt when they came into Jerusalem. It didn't matter the excitement and the emotional high that they experienced when Jesus cast the money changers out of the temple. All of that was erased the moment doubt was introduced to the picture. And the moment one complication to their plan was thrown in, all their balance was thrown off. You see, that's how easy it is for us as Christians. Many times is we can be excited and we can be emotional and we can be running high and everything can be going great. And one little twist to the plan throws us completely off balance. And so as this was going around the table and you know that the people was just it really just begin to cause a hush and an uneasiness and just an overall kind of depression almost fell on the group of disciples. And all of a sudden it wasn't the fact that this is the Messiah and he's coming to take over. Christ began to talk about he was leaving and that this was going to be his last supper and that there was things that was going to be in front of him that was going to cost him dearly. And he began to tell them about what they were going to do and how they were going to respond and how they were going to react. And they all looked at him and they said, no. And in fact, Peter, oh, we like Peter because he stepped up and he voiced what they all were thinking, that no, we're not going to do that. And in fact, Jesus had something special to say to him. He said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me twice. And as it all of this was going on, and then Jesus said, all right, we're going to go out to Gethsemane and we're going to pray. And all the disciples said, boy, that's back to the normal. Jesus praying at night in the cemetery, or not the cemetery, Gethsemane, out at the Mount Olives, and going out and praying, that was normal. And so the disciples like, okay, you know, well, maybe we're just we're reacting a little too much, and you know, maybe we just need to just get back in our normal pace. You ever thought that the answer to a problem was just to get back in your normal place? Is anybody, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that does that. Sometimes when there's issues, it just seems like you just need to get back to your normal groove and your own rut where everything's comfortable and nothing's challenging and we can just keep a low profile and hopefully not feel a lot. Yeah, we get that way because we're human. Because God likes to take us and stretch us. God likes to take us and raise us. God likes to take us and mold us. And many times this involves some exciting times. What we wrestle with as individuals is we crave the exciting times, but they don't last. Shout from last Sunday is gone. And here we are on Thursday night, and we've dealt with some real problems this week. We've dealt with some real struggles because what? We're real people. And so the disciples said, well, all right, let's get back to the familiar. And so they go to the garden and all the disciples settle down because, you know, Jesus didn't pray no 30-minute prayers. I don't know if you figured that out or not from reading the gospel. When he went and prayed, he prayed for hours. The disciples were used to that. And so as they gathered and disciples settled in and they said their little 30-minute prayers. And they said, oh, thank you, Lord. We're back at the garden. Jesus has laid some heavy weights on us. Man, it just seems like stuff's not going right. God help him. God help us. Man, I'm tired. We know that Jesus separated three that went further into the garden with him because these were the three that he relied on a little bit more. And then Jesus separated himself and went further. And, of course, we know the story. And I'm not really dealing with what Christ went through during this time. I'm dealing with what the disciples went through during this time. because this is how we deal with issues and problems. And so Peter, James, and John, they're up there, and I think they probably may have prayed a little bit longer. And they lasted a little bit longer, but what do we find? We find that Christ comes back and he says, "What? Could you not pray but an hour?" They may have made it to the 45-minute mark. Anybody ever been to an all-night prayer meeting? I've been to one all-night prayer meeting, I think. Pretty sure. At Landmark. That was when Brother Norris was still pastoring. That was a long time ago. And we was there all night long, and they kind of broke it up between they'd pray for an hour or 2 hours, I remember what it was, and then they'd have a little devotion, and then everybody kind of shake the sleepies off, and then they'd go back and pray again. Well, by the time that morning rolled around, there was way more sleepies than there was praying. And I could hear a little bit of snoring, and every day... I ain't gonna say his name, but there was a particular gentleman there, and he'd be back there, and, "Hey, man," and I'm not kidding you. That was exactly what he was doing. He was doing his best to hang in there, but man, the old man was creeping in, and the sleep was getting hold. And so this is where it was, and Peter, James, and John, they just couldn't help themselves, because here's something else I want to tell you. When problems happen, the majority of people like to sleep. I don't know why that is, but it almost seems like if you can sleep, your problems go away. Or at least you forget about them for a little while. And it seems that the struggle and the strain of where they had been to where they was now, it was all catching up with them. But I think that they kind of thought, well, you know, things are going to get a little bit better. And as the night wore on, we begin to find that this is where we begin to pick up in the scripture verses, is the crowds come and the multitude comes and the soldiers come and Judas betrays him, and all of this happens. And there were some miraculous things that happened during this time. And then Matthew records that as they took Jesus away, that all the disciples forsook him and fled. How can we go from triumphant entry to heat and then fleeing? How can we go from there to here? You said, "Brother Jay, this is a heavy message for Thursday night." It's okay. It's going to get better, I promise. See, I haven't told you my title yet. My title is... But wait. So all the disciples forsook him and they fled, and they begin to run here and they begin to run there. Well, here's what I want to tell you. Later on in Scripture, we find that they went back and hid in what was the upper room. And what's interesting to me about this was the place that Jesus told them to go and find for the Passover. What's interesting to me was they associated that with a comfortable, safe place. Because that was the last place that they had interaction with the Master. You see, this is important too, because as they begin to flee and they begin to go all their separate ways, when they first fled, they all scattered. The Bible says that they scattered. And when I don't know what you think about when you say scattered, but they just all went different ways. They just went running here and there because they just didn't know what was going on, and things was happening, and all their dreams was crashing, and their lives were flying apart. And it seemed like everything that could go wrong was going wrong. But as they began to make their way back over that night, they made their way back to the last place that they had interaction with the Master. And so as time goes on and it rolls through, and we begin to find that through the events of the crucifixion, all the way up to the point that they put him in the tomb, that the disciples stayed, other than John. John was at the cross. All the rest of the disciples stayed in that room and hid themselves for fear. He said, man, that's rough. 3.5 years with Jesus. All the things that they had seen Jesus do, all the miracles. They had been there for the feeding of the 5,000. They'd seen blind Bartimaeus receive his sight. They'd seen the lepers healed and restored and sent their way. And how did we come all the way from triumphant entry to now we're hiding in fear? That's what I want to tell you, church. There's times when we have real struggles. There's times when we have real problems. And it doesn't matter how good that we felt on Sunday morning, when the problems hit, we, the Bible calls us sheep. You want to know why the Bible calls us sheep? Because we're predictable. We have predictable patterns. And when problems begin to arise and problems begin to press and struggles begin to get real, we go into this kind of survival mode. And we deal with fear, we deal with depression, we deal with things that come against us and they begin to weigh us down, and we have a lack of joy and a lack of peace. It's, I just want to encourage you, if this is what you're going through, it's perfectly normal. We're not made to be steel giants that don't feel anything. That's perfectly normal behavior. But here's what I want to leave you with. Sister Lindsay, as you're coming back to the piano tonight, you say, hey, you thought I was going to preach the rest of it, didn't you? I'm not. But wait. You see, we're still at Thursday. Maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you're going through a problem. Maybe you're going through a struggle. Maybe you're dealing with something. And maybe it seems like the blessing that you got on Sunday just hasn't lasted all the way to Thursday. I want to tell you tonight, there is hope tonight. Because things don't stay this way. And here's what else I want to tell you as I'm closing and you're standing to your feet. It's not normal to stay in confusion. It's not normal to stay in fear. It's not normal to stay in depression. It's not normal to stay in the struggle. It's not normal to live like that. But it is normal to get to that position, but it's not normal to stay in that position. You see, what's going to happen on Sunday morning is pastor's going to get up here and he's going to preach about the fun part of the rest of the story. You see, but I just want to tell you tonight, but wait. Because if the disciples had been listening, they would have realized that there was more to the story than what they were focusing on. And I want to tell you tonight, there's victory, there's power, there's blessing. There's more to that story than what you're experiencing now. And I can tell you this, we have that promise because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's gather in these altars tonight. Let's have us a time of prayer.